Keith Murphy.org.
Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy Fails.
I pity the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO.
A Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO on a Tuesday. It's an election Tuesday in Polk County. Alongside Andy Fails, I'm Keith Murphy. Andrew Downs is producing. Just got out of my polling place, Andy. There were six polling volunteers sitting at the table and me. I was it.
I got to do that yet today.
I'm the only person in that place.
I got to go vote. Yeah, they're pulling on sales tax.
It takes 10 seconds because there's one thing on the ballot. That's it.
That's it.
Go
yes or no.
Bubble, yes, no, boom, you're out. AD, here's a fact that just crossed from Forbes. Kylie Jenner is now the youngest ever self-made billionaire. She has reached $1 billion faster than even Mark Zuckerberg. Would you call her self-made? Is that self-made?
I don't really know what she does. I'll have to be honest.
She's an influencer, company, right?
Yeah.
And that's her main thing?
And she has a makeup company.
That's
the big money coming in.
But we learned like on Fyre Festival that they paid her $250,000 for one Instagram post that said she was excited about it.
Yes.
That check clear?
I bet it didn't.
Anybody? Yeah, some checks did clear. Right, the early checks, they had to clear.
Yeah, you wanted to get in line pretty quickly on getting one of those checks.
You didn't want to let that thing sit in a desk drawer.
All right, Andy, this is just a coincidence of curious timing, and a man is dead, so not using it for lightheartedness, but it's hard not to see the national headlines that King Kong Bundy is dead today at age 61.
Elbow right into the sternum area by King Kong Bundy to the applause of his partners.
The guy that started as a single family unit and turned into a condominium. Look at the size of that guy.
A condominium with legs.
Wow.
He is enormous.
So many people have asked today, is it okay to call him King Kong Bundy? What would Learfield think? Is there any way Gary Barta can suspend anyone who makes mention of this announcement? And I get the digs and I get the humor here and what people are trying to say, but I think it can show what we've maintained all along, that you can have two things here. You can have the realization that there is a history with King Kong that's offensive to African Americans, so there is a backstory there that makes it something that I would not use the term. But you can also hear that this large white man who's just huge was called King Kong because he was so big and physically dominating. And that is what Gary Dolphin meant, just as he meant that when he called Robert Gallery King Kong. Mm-hmm. So I think you can appreciate both. You don't have to take an absolutist position.
I think that anybody takes such an absolutist position that they can't see that argument.
But so you haven't been on social media in the past few weeks?
Somebody would honestly say you can't use King Kong to describe anybody, any person?
Yes. I've said, absolutely.
No white people, they said that?
Correct.
You are dealing with the lowest common denominator there, if there are people that honestly do not understand that.
Well, you've seen that, haven't you, JD? You might even think that.
People saying that. You shouldn't use it to call it that is offensive to white people?
I do not think that.
No, not offensive to white people.
Or you can't use it to say white people?
Would there be a King Kong Bundy if he started? I mean, will there be another King Kong?
Not in Iowa. I think
not in pro wrestling.
I think you could do it in pro wrestling, absolutely.
He'd have to be white.
Yes, he would be white. Unless he named himself. I mean, you can name yourself whatever you want.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, you can.
Yeah. I'm not naming myself King Kong.
If you're a team from an Indian reservation, you can call yourself the Indians. I got no problem with that.
Right.
But it's just totally different. Everybody knows that.
Most people know that.
I mean, really, the common denominator, the denominator can get that low.
Yeah, man.
Which part is different? Let me make sure I understand what you mean. What are you saying? It's totally different that this large white man is named King Kong Bundy.
If you calling a white guy King Kong,
but doesn't it at the same time show The whole reason for his nickname is because he's a large, dominating man. And
yes.
Not everybody who thinks of that was having a racist thought.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
unconscious bias.
Absolutely, yeah. But I think what it really says is that it's telling you why it's offensive, because it's applied to someone here that's black. That's why some people think it's offensive.
Correct. But if it's applied to someone who's white, it's not offensive.
No, not offensive. Not offensive in any way.
Doesn't this seem a little complicated?
It's a little complicated, but language is a little complicated.
It is, and it's a moving target, right? Language is a constant moving target.
It is a moving target, yep. And sometimes it moves faster than others. Sometimes it goes decades. One term goes decades, and then all of a sudden it's snuffed out.
King Kong Bundy was 6'4", 450.
Yeah, he was huge. He was like he was a guy that you did not expect to live to be 61.
I would have guessed he's 6'8", but that, you know, sometimes you lose the scale. Like, remember in Rocky III, Thunderlips looked 6'8", and Hulk Hogan's not 6'8", but he was so big in
they're
that
big
match.
Guys. Yeah, they're definitely big guys, but they're not Andre the Giant big.
No, that guy is crazy. Was really big.
He really was that big.
Legit, right. That big, yeah.
He was big near those guys. So near everybody else, you can only imagine. Jeez, I wish I had seen him up close once.
Andre the Giant?
Yeah. Which is why he was such a star. People just wanted to see how big he really was, right? They wanted to see his hands.
Right. They want to see him hold a beer can.
Yeah, he just needed to walk around holding a beer all the time, or just any sort of 12-ounce can.
Did you see the HBO documentary?
Yeah.
That was good.
Oh, yeah.
I've
seen
it
a couple of times.
I think
great.
Bill Simmons might have been behind that, but it was well done. It will be talked about longer than Bill Simmons' talk show was. I mean, he had like the golden touch, and that came and went quickly. He just boy, not
podcast
everything works
is enough.
Not everything works. Also, Casey has a thought. We'll get it in so we stay on topic. Casey, welcome to the Murph and Andy Show, 284-5966. If you want to join the show at any time, go ahead, Casey.
Hey, guys, I was going to say, just Google, I think they're on the set of one of the Conan movies, but, you know, you always think Arnold Schwarzenegger is this huge guy. But there's this picture from that movie that Will Chamberlain was in with him, and Andre the Giant is there as well. And Schwarzenegger looks like a kindergartner. Next to Andre and Wilt. And I was going to say, in the 80s, my mom worked for the Department of Corrections in Cedar Rapids, and when the WWF came to town, Andre got arrested because somebody started picking a fight with him. And I did get to meet him at the jail. He did make photocopies of his hands for everybody. But, you know, at the time I was 10, 11 years old, so, I mean, he was just a monster to me. You know,
somebody wants. Wait, hang on. We got to back up to somebody picked a fight with Andre the Giant.
I believe that's what happened. I think they were out and somebody, you know, started talking trash or something. And
that's beer. Those beer muscles right there. Those got to be beer muscles to be picking a fight with that man. Well, that sounds like a cool experience, Casey.
Here's the picture.
Yeah, I want to see the photo. Yep, that he's exactly
Andre the
right.
Giant and Will Chamberlain are holding him up.
Yeah, and partly here, because Schwarzenegger is supposed to actually only be 5'11". He's always listed at 6'2", but his real height is supposed to be lower than he always listed.
Oh, here's another one.
And he wore lifts in all of his movies. Yeah, see, that's like...
Yeah, he's just, yeah.
He's shorter than you are, but they did a good job of shooting Schwarzenegger in his movies where he always looked 6'4". I mean, he looked much tall. He didn't look like a 5'11 guy. They found a way. They probably surrounded him.
Well, they
him
did
with
the same thing with Stallone. He didn't look as short as he is.
Except against Thunderlips. John has a thought here. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. I was just wondering the conflicts with Bill Pullum in the athletic department at Iowa.
Gary Dolphin?
Gary Dolphin. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Whatever became of the behind-the-scenes thought that there was some more tension between McCaffrey and either Bowlesby or
Barta
and Dolph and Barta, yes.
I'm not I don't think there's any doubt there is tension amongst them. They might have worked it out by now, but there's a history there that they made everyone aware of with the a line in a press release that said ongoing tension. So that's not a media or fan creation. It's an acknowledgement, even from the Iowa Athletic Department, that there has been ongoing tension. So are you asking if that has changed?
Yeah, I'm asking if there's ever been any inkling of what those ongoing tensions might be related to.
Yes, a couple of things, and thank you for the call, John. One of them is a story that Scott Docterman of The Athletic and others have told, that Gary Dolphin one time gave his game tickets to some friends who are from Wisconsin, and Margaret McCaffrey complained very loudly and passionately to Gary Barta that she had been heckled by those fans.
Or that the fans were...
rude to her.
Rude to the team or something. You're saying things to other people around them. Yeah.
That's part of it. Then the tension got worse when Adolph was caught on a hot mic in what he thought was a private conversation, questioning some of the recruiting that Iowa has had at the guard position, because there were...
I think there have been a few times where Adolph has maybe been more honest about the team than McCaffrey wanted him to be.
Correct. Yes.
Or
that's a good way to put it.
Shared his personal thoughts more than he thought he should.
Now, did we hear anything Saturday? Because it does seem that the PR got so bad in this winning season that even Gary Barta and Fran McCaffrey realized that they were having terrible PR right now. So McCaffrey even extended an invitation for Dolph to watch the game with him. Did that happen?
Apparently, yeah.
I saw a picture.
I guess I didn't see the picture. When Fran met with the media on Friday, he said that, yeah, Gary had accepted his invitation. They were going to watch it in Fran's office.
I saw a picture of that, but that was like one of those pictures that looked Photoshopped to me. So I don't think, I'm not saying it was, it was too suspect for me to retweet or anything.
There was a Photoshop picture going around of like them sitting on a couch eating popcorn.
Okay,
like,
good. I'm glad I didn't do anything with
that. That was Photoshopped. I didn't see any official picture or anything, but Fran did then go on to say, you know, he and Gary have had, you know, their little issues just like any coworker does over a 9-year period, but overall they have a good relationship and they're working on it and everything's fine and it's all kind of gotten blown out of proportion. A lot of that's on them, but
yeah,
that was what he said Friday.
It hasn't been blown out of proportion because how many people, if you know Dolph at all, how many people do you think have had ongoing tensions with Gary Dolphin? I mean, come on. All right. Also, we just talked about the end for King Kong Bundy. Luke Perry died at age 52. You learned this yesterday. We all learned this. If you're over 40, you remember how big this was. So, AD, this is before you probably paid attention, right?
Well, so I had older brothers, so I watched 90210.
So you recognize that music?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Like when, and I even told my wife last night, because she's younger than me, she doesn't know 90210 much. I was like, man, this hit me harder than I thought it would yesterday, because Dylan was like one of the first really cool dudes on TV. Like he was one of the first like cool guys I was aware of.
In the early 90s, any of us who could grew long sideburns.
Yeah, man. That's what you did. He drove like nice car and, you know, was rich and lived by himself and was dating Shannon Doherty.
When I was in high school, I didn't wear any sideburns like at all. Like I cut it off. It looked really silly. And I have a mole under one of the sideburns, just a spot. It's not like a growth. But and then I also have this really high hairline that goes up around my ear. The hair starts really high up around my ear. So I was always like kind of self-conscious about that part of my head. And when I was I was a little too old. I didn't care about the show, right? I mean, it was the kids that were just a little younger right around me, I guess, that watched this. But anyway, I was at home getting ready to go back to college and... one of my friends from home said, she said, you know, you kind of look like Luke Perry. You should grow your sideburns out.
It's all you needed.
So I was like, well, okay, I'll try it. And I liked it. And so it covered up the mole and it kind of helped that hair issue I got going around my ears. And because of Luke Perry, I've always kind of had some sideburns.
See?
There you go.
There's just one more story. And...
Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to grow them out longer, you know, quite a bit longer than this. But.
Ironically, as you're feeling kind of too old as you go back to college, Luke Perry, who's actually older than you, is playing a high school kid.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, that's the irony. That's always the case, though, right? These guys come in and they probably, directors don't want to work with real high school kids. They know what real high school kids are like. They want a kid that's, you know, in their early 20s and starving.
And they're limited. Anyone under 18, they're limited the amount of hours they can have them work
That's
the set.
Probably the real point.
So they get them out there so they can just work them hard. Colin Hanks told a Luke Perry story that we should all tuck away. So this is Tom Hanks' son. You've seen him in many movies. So he said he was on an airplane ride a few years ago, and there's two kids. That two brothers, and they are just, they're fighting and they're awful to each other in the seats. They're young kids and the parents are trying to stop them, but it's an airplane ride and it is ruining the flight for everybody. These kids just will not behave and the parents are trying. So he says, sees this guy in a hat and beard and he comes up and he says, it's like a magic trick. He just goes up right next to him. Out of his pocket, pulls out a couple of balloons, blows them up, ties them off, hands them to these little small children. Rest of the plane ride is smooth. They just play with these balloons. And as this guy goes back to his seat, the plane applauds. And Colin Hanks says, as he walks back by, he says to his wife, I think that's Luke Perry. So when they...
Luke Perry travels with his own balloons?
He does. So they land... And he goes up to him and he says, Luke, I'm Colin Hanks. And he said, you know, Luke was a gentleman, was complimenting some of Colin Hanks's work. And he said, I got to ask you, you know, the balloon thing. I mean, how'd you have the balloons? He goes, well, something I learned a long time ago. I now always travel with my balloons in my pocket. If there's fighting kids on the plane, I blow it up, take it to the kids. The kids calm down.
Wow, that's a great idea.
That's a magic trick.
I think I might have to steal that one, too.
Yeah, you got it.
Along with his sideburns.
You got his sideburns, now you travel with balloons.
Awesome.
Travels with his own balloons. He goes, he's like, I need some gum, I need a magazine.
And just in case there's some misbehaving kids, I'm going to travel with balloons.
He probably travels with two of each color.
Yeah, because well, now you can do whatever you want because you can't do the trick anymore. So we got
can't travel with a balloon anymore.
Well, Luke Perry can, is what I'm saying. So we have
Well, he can't.
Yeah, he can't travel. So with we have to help the skies.
They
when
carry
we fly.
It on.
He doesn't need a plane anymore. I guess that's the one good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the bright side.
Yeah,
to being dead.
Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. I guess that's the bright side. All Missouri Valley Conference team out today. One Bulldog first team, Nick McGlynn. Nick McGlynn is all Missouri Valley Conference first team. Drake has lost two starters. He talked about this at length to injury. Nick Norton and DJ Wilkins will go as the two seed down to St. Louis. And Darren DeVries, when will he be named Conference Coach of the Year? Is that Thursday? I think it's Thursday they will.
Yeah, I think that's right down in St. Louis.
That's stringing better. Out a little bit. They're having a party there tonight, a little net cutting party. They're going to cut down the nets at the Nap Center.
Oh, net cutting
net,
party.
Not nut cutting. Okay. Net.
Net cutting party. All right. That's a 6:30? Public invited?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, get on into the Nap Center.
And yesterday I was asking because the NIT automatically... invites any regular season conference champion that doesn't go on to win its tournament and make the NCAA tournament.
Good point.
The Fanatics were talking about this last night, and somebody called and said that Loyola will get that bid if neither of these teams win the Arch Madness this weekend.
Because of the tiebreaker?
Loyola will be the team with the automatic NIT bid, so Drake does not have an automatic bid to the NIT. Although, if the NIT's smart, they'll invite Drake either way, right?
They're depleted. I don't know how much the two injuries will hurt. The NIT would like to have Loyola.
Coming out of that, no doubt.
Final Four and Sister Jean and all that. There's a chance the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the Missouri Valley Conference will have the Women's Player of the Year all come from our state. Megan Gustafson was unanimous Big Ten Player of the Year. Bill Fenley has told any Big 12 coach who doesn't vote for Bridget Carlton, he'll see you at the Big 12 meetings. And Becca Hittner should win the Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year. We have three teams in the top 25, as we've pointed out here, and two in the NCAA released the top 16. Both Iowa and Iowa State are in those top four seeds.
Yeah, would host games in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, so it's a big deal, and it leads us to our quickie poll presented by WCI Pools and Spots.
Does women's basketball deserve more attention from fans and media in Iowa? Yes, we should care more, or nah, you can't make people care.
I mean, look, the answer is yes to this question. I mean, you cannot make people care. They either care or they don't care. But, I mean, if women are 51% of the population, and we pride ourselves in the quality of our girls' sports here in Iowa. We have a girls' athletic union. Not, most states don't have that.
We talked about that at length with the guy who wrote Maynard 8 Mile.
Yeah, guy's writing books about it. I mean, we have very healthy girls' athletic tournaments in this state.
Yes.
A lot of participation from girls in sports. Heck, we got girls wrestling here in Iowa. I mean, we truly do it as well as any state, I think. And we have three fantastic women's teams this year. And they have been, this is not out of the blue. I mean, Iowa is considerably better than it typically is. But for Iowa State and Drake, they have for a long time been among the top teams in their conferences.
And Iowa State is,
and they do well,
top five in attendance. I think Drake is now top 20 in attendance. Mm-hmm. They've really carved out a niche there. Iowa has picked up late in the year, partly because of Megan Gustafson being in the conversation of greatest Hawkeye basketball player of all time, men's or women's. I mean, with the numbers she's putting up, and she's going to be first team All-America and should be the National Player of the Year. But Iowa just kind of lags behind Iowa State and Drake per capita for interest. Mm-hmm. They just have trouble drawing as many fans as the other two schools. But I guess I have the context of other states, and there's so much more attention here for women's and girls sports than there are in the other states that I've been, that I don't feel like it's lagging.
Well, I think from a media perspective, I mean, I know why we make the decisions for coverage that we do. I think it's more, I'm talking more for fans here, and, you know, I'm among them too. I'm as guilty as anybody else. I mean, you just look, though, at the disparity between the concern that we have for men's basketball and women's basketball. It is a huge difference.
It is.
An enormous difference.
And it would help if you didn't have the tournaments line up where you're having to really pay attention to one or the other for the most part. I mean, the women's tournament gets buried by the interest in the men's tournament and the conference tournaments too, where you're picking the media, you're forcing the media to pick, in most cases, which they can go staff in different cities, and the men's tournament's going to win that.
Can you imagine what it would be like if the Drake men had done what the Drake women have done? I mean, they would be talking about moving Drake out of the Missouri Valley Conference
to a bigger school.
Yeah. They have done more than the Creighton men ever did, or Wichita State. I mean, they have, and they've maintained this over quite some time. I mean, Lisa Bluter was a very good coach here at Drake. Lisa Stone, her successor, did very well. And Jenny Baranchek has won, I mean, all of those conference games, all of those conference titles. I mean, if a men's team at Drake did that, I mean, even if they didn't do anything in the national tournament, that still would be, I mean, the Knapp Center would be packed all the time. They would have already started expanding it or building a new one. I mean, they're like, the sky's the limit.
But what do you do when you can't make, like, my wife Jenny, for instance, she would be some of note here. She does not want to go see a women's basketball game. She will not sit down and watch one in the living room. Zero interest. She watches men's games all the time.
I think to a certain extent it's just kind of how we're conditioned, right? I mean, how you grow up, what you're used to watching. And, you know, the women's game is, there's no doubt, I mean, it's slower. There isn't the same type of action that you have in men's games. I mean, there's a difference there. But, I mean, think of it. We care more about women's gymnastics and figure skating.
By far.
I think you could argue we care many times we care more about women's tennis than we do men's tennis.
Serena Williams is maybe the biggest tennis star in the United States right now, right? Bigger than Federer, Djokovic.
And as big as there's ever been, certainly in the women's sport. I think there are times when female track stars are bigger than the males, at least from the United States, where we have had, or at least close.
You know, FloJo was a huge star. Yeah. Jackie Joyner Kersee.
They were huge stars. And I think, and that's, I wonder what the difference is there. I mean, they're not to the level of the men in their same sports.
Because a fast high school male sprinter at times could beat your Olympic gold medalist in women's 100 meters.
Yeah, but we don't, for some reason, that doesn't matter as much. Is it because?
No, it is interesting. That's what I'm saying, though. I mean, we understand there are physiological differences.
But it's interesting. You just don't see that same disparity with women's, with those women's sports and their male counterparts that you do with basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, WNBA, right. NBA, it's not even a competition.
In male,
it's not even close.
Male figure skaters can do jumps that some of the women cannot do.
I mean, the Olympics, maybe that's different, but then you got tennis in there.
When we come back, it's the latest chip challenge.
Play a little Guess Whose Birthday, powered by Cellular Advantage. Murph, you're up first. Guess Whose Birthday.
What's your name?
Fat Amy. I'm the best singer in Tasmania.
You call yourself Fat Amy?
Yeah, so Twig is like, you don't do it behind my back.
This is Rebel Wilson.
It is.
Who Mr. Movie also confuses for Amy Schumer.
Yes, that's right.
But they're two different people.
They're very different, yes.
Rebel Wilson's... Gosh, those Pitch Perfect movies have been out for at least 10 years, right? She's got 37.
She's 39, so it's a narrow miss, but a miss nonetheless. Andy, guess whose birthday?
It's all the same.
Yeah.
Only the name will change.
Oh, that's a good tune. That is John Bon Jovi.
It is.
John Bon Jovi is 60.
He's 57, so that's a miss. Murph, guess whose birthday?
Last night, our first guest led his team to a victory in Super Bowl 43, bringing home his second Super Bowl ring and an NFL record 6 championships to the Steelers. From your world champion Pittsburgh Steelers, here he is, the quarterback.
Ben Roethlisberger?
That's right.
Ben Roethlisberger's got to be in his late 30s by now. 37.
He is 37. Well done. Andy, guess whose birthday?
That's Chris Martin.
It is.
He's 48.
He's only 42. Murph, you win.
Really?
We're in kind of a 72-hour window there, right? A couple of those guys' birthdays were from the weekend.
That's right.
Recognized. Oh, wow. All right, so thanks to our friend Bill with Lay's, who for I don't know how many years has been dropping off the chips.
Yeah, he brings us he randomly brings us Lay's chips kind of throughout the year.
He knows we have weakness for salt and vinegar.
He does, yeah. He knows that we're potato chip fans. And each year for, how long is this going back now? 6-7 years, maybe?
Yeah, I would say, yes.
Lay's
to where I thought they would have run out of flavor ideas by now.
Yeah, Lay's breaks out. Is it just Lay? Is there one Lay?
There's one Lay, and they're Lay's chips, right? Is it apostrophe S?
My friend Scott Lay. I know it's not his company, but yeah, it's apostrophe S.
So it's one Lay.
Yeah, Lay.
So the guy's name is like John Lay.
Yeah, John Lay.
And these are
Scott
Lay's
Lay.
Chips, yeah. Like Jack Daniel. Doesn't it seem like it's Jack Daniels?
Like it would be, yeah, then it would be like Jack Daniels.
Yeah, it's Jack Daniels, but it's Jack Daniels apostrophe S.
People
who
say that, they'll be like, I'm going to go over to the Fales house, but you mean the Fales' house.
The Fales's. What about the Ferences's?
Yeah, the Ferences's. The Ferences. No, it's Ferences. That's easier than Fales's. Anyway, he's nice enough to kind of bring us over a sneak peek, or at least an early peek.
Yeah.
At the new flavors each year that come out, I guess, around now.
And one wins the popular vote to stay on as a chip, right, each year?
Yeah, they keep it on.
Like chicken and waffles stuck around?
Yeah, the sriracha, year was one of these spring reveals, and that stuck. That worked pretty well.
That did work well.
Some of them are terrible.
One that I thought I might like, because I like chocolate, I like coffee, I like cappuccino. I thought that wrapped in a chip might be okay, but the cappuccino chip was terrible.
What are some of the other bad ones that there have been? There was a guacamole. Was there like a guacamole one, like an avocado tasting one that didn't work very well? There was a
last year. There was an everything bagel with cream cheese, and it
that didn't work.
There was a wasabi chip one year that seemed like it would be good, but it seemed like it'd be better than it was. So you don't ever really know. Sometimes it sounds better than it turns out to.
They have flavor engineers that design this stuff. They're food engineers.
Okay, so here's what we got this year. We have got electric lime and sea salt.
Love lime.
You like salt and vinegar. I mean, so sour and the salty is always good.
I'm handicapping this. I don't know what the other flavors are. Tell me all the flavors.
You've probably had the lime-flavored Tostitos before. Those work.
I think those are the best thing to dip into salsa, those lime. I mean, those are the best tailgating chips to me. The lime Tostitos that you dip into salsa. Yeah. Those are fantastic.
Got a lot of lime dust all over them. Okay, this one, Flamin' Hot Dill Pickle. Now, all three of us like dill pickle chips. So I'd have to say, I think this is probably
that sounds really good.
Work.
Yeah,
that we got two chips that seem like they should work.
But that's pickle with that's got like some jalapeno spices on it, I guess. But you make hot spicy pickles at home. I make those at home. Those are easy. Put some red pepper flakes in there and get it good and spicy. That's a good spicy pickle's a good thing. And then finally, classic beer cheese. Okay, classic beer cheese flavored chips. Those work. Those have been very popular for a long time. Cheese flavored chips. What are they usually like? Cheddar and onion,
right?
Bacon and cheddar.
This does seem like there's not an obviously bad choice here. Like these should all work. What's the fourth?
I should also say they have. This is like a new line or a newer line of Lay's chips called Red Rock Deli, or maybe Lay's doesn't even make these.
We'll just keep those out.
Okay, we'll keep those out for now, but he brought us some of those, too. All right, so we'll try the Lay's here. Let's crank them open. See?
Try not to eat right next to the microphone, but no promises.
No. Well, that's the only audio we got here. Otherwise, it's just three guys having food on a radio show.
Oh, they're in the stores today, Bill tells us.
Okay, thank you,
So they're arriving today.
So
I remember before you did the cappuccino chips, and people just kept sending us photos of like 90% off. They would see them, and all the bags would still be sitting there.
There was one that was terrible, right? That we just, I might still be getting pictures of. All right. Let's start with the beer cheese.
All right.
Okay. Murph, you going to try those?
Absolutely.
Oh, we're going to need to deliver some of these to Andrew. I should have.
Here, I'll come in there.
But yeah, just come on in. All right. Beer cheese. Okay. Murph?
It's good. It tastes like, I think it tastes a lot like a typical cheese-flavored chip. I don't notice a...
I can taste the beer on it. All right. Here you go, Andrew. Try that. Get next to a mic.
I would definitely eat those. At a party, I'd be happy with those.
They're fine. They taste like beer cheese.
They do.
Yeah, they're not great.
The kettle helps.
Mm-hmm.
I like the kettle chip.
These are kettle cooked. And the lime ones are wavy.
Kettle cook means it's like a little drier, a little crisper.
I think they're fried in some kind of different oil. This just says sunflower oil. All right. That's the same oil.
I would eat those. Those are fine.
Yeah, I would eat those.
Yeah, those are fine. Okay. Now, let's go with the lime.
Ooh, that's the ridge. What do you call the ridge?
Those are the wavies.
Yeah, I like the wavies.
I think Ruffles are a different brand. But, all right. There you go. Okay. The wavy lime, electric lime and sea salt. Here we go. Boy, you get hit with the lime right away.
Yeah, it's too much.
Too limey?
Too limey for me.
It's like fruity.
Yeah.
I like it, but with that lime flavor, I want to dip it into salsa. Like
I think they would let you.
But I'd rather this be a
corn chip.
A corn chip, yeah. But it's fine.
It's
I would eat it.
It's pretty good.
All right. It's too fruity for me.
All right. Everybody clear their palates. Reach for the pickled ginger. Okay, here we go. Now, I think this is going to be the coup de grace right here.
There's a napkin.
All right.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Flamin' Hot.
I'm excited about
the
this
Flamin' Hot Dill Pickle Remix. Because it's absolutely got to have five words. Flamin' Hot Dill Pickle Remix. Here we go.
Those are good.
Mm-hmm. Easily number one. Mm. I like that spice on the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, immediately get the pickle.
You still get
that's
the pickle,
good.
Right?
Yeah, that's number one. I go one.
That's got a little heat on the end of it, doesn't it?
Beer cheese two, wavy sea salt, lime three.
I think I'm going to go in reverse of that. Or I think I'm going to go, I'm going to flip-flop those last two. I'm going to say Flamin' Hot Dill Pickle Remix, electric lime and sea salt, and then the beer cheese. But whatever. Whew, those are
real hot.
Those got some spice on the end, man. Jeez. Flaming Hot, they're not fooling around. Here, want some more Flaming Hot?
No, I want some of these to get that.
Yeah, you want to chase it with some beer cheese? You want a beer cheese chaser?
That's got a little bit of a kick. A little bit more of a kick than I realized. Yeah. It's good, though. I want the kick.
Yeah, that sticks with you.
It says Flaming Hot. You want it, yeah. Truth in advertising.
Can't cry wolf with Flaming Hot.
Oh,
calling everything Flaming
I gained
Hot.
5 pounds this weekend. Just got on the scale this morning.
Did you really?
I did.
What did you eat out there?
I ate everything. I ate too much. I drank too much. Basically,
is it expensive to eat and drink too much in Vegas?
It is
like crazy expensive.
It's all too expensive now. Like, yeah,
we are going to go out. I'm going to go for the first time in May.
A draft beer is $9. Mixed drink is 15 to 18.
It's like ballpark prices everywhere you go.
15 to 18 for a mixed drink?
Yeah, unless you get off the strip. I mean, if you're on the strip, you can, like we, one afternoon, we went away from the strip and just looked for the old hidden bars and restaurants that have been in Vegas for a long time, like Rebar, just cool places that are off the beaten path, and their prices drop down to a third of what they are on the strip. Jeez. It's that much of a difference. But when Jenny was planning this this nice little birthday weekend for me, she thought this was going to be a kind of a relaxed weekend in Vegas, you know, before the NCAA tournament starts, after the Super Bowl. Like,
did they make relaxed weekends in Las Vegas?
Well, just not too crowded. Like, now she thought, this seems like a good time to be there. One of the most crowded weekends of the year. Had the NASCAR race, the Cup Series race was there. The Rugby Sevens, which are a huge international deal. There were people from Iowa, from rugby clubs, on our airplane going to the Rugby Sevens. Those were there. The UFC fight was at Mandalay Bay. So the big, you know, UFC fight that took place, the pay-per-view this weekend, that was also there. So we had all that going, and we went to a Knights game, which was fantastic. Sold out, every seat taken. You know, they combine a little bit of Broadway production mm-hmm. with the hockey there, and it's a blast. They're expensive, like everything in Vegas these days, but the Knights game was a lot of fun.
I think we all kind of forget how cheap it is for us to go and watch G League basketball or AHL hockey.
I mean, we absolutely do.
There's a gigantic gulf and ticket prices between NHL or NBA and G League and NHL and AHL. Those have really never been cheap seats, probably. NBA, at least been a long time, NBA and NHL.
NHL.
Those arenas aren't gigantic, you know, 20,000 people.
Yeah, it
in a big
holds
city.
18 to 20 there at T-Mobile Arena, and to get in, upper deck, you know, okay seat. Minimum $185 a seat. Good seats down low. You're going $300 to $500 for seats. Bob Seger was in concert. That was sold out.
Yeah, like at any time, the names that are in Las Vegas just blow my mind.
I know.
I mean, the ones that have like a residence at a certain hotel and they just perform nightly.
Lady Gaga had the weekend off, and that's probably the one break we got because of the success of Star Is Born. Her already superstar status has gone to a whole mm-hmm. nother level. They said that is right now among the hardest tickets ever to get in Vegas, trying to get it, because she does two shows. One is the pop star crazy outfits, Gaga. And then the one I want to see is just her sitting at a piano, showing
Gaga
off her talent. Yeah. So she does two different kinds of shows, and they're both like bad seats are starting at about $800. Bad seats.
Wow.
You want to get down there close anywhere, you're looking at $2,000 to $4,000.
Wow. Jeez.
So I'm not paying that.
No.
No, thanks. No. All right, we'll come back with Throwdowns on the Murph and Andy Show. 14.
Don't let me throw it down. It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
All right, let's throw it down. Murph, Iowa State should beat West Virginia. Iowa should beat Nebraska. But the games at Wisconsin and against Texas Tech are much tougher. Which would be a bigger win? Iowa winning at number 21 Wisconsin or Iowa State completing the sweep of number 8 Texas Tech?
I think it's Iowa winning at Wisconsin. You get a road win at a top 25 team. It's more impressive than a home win over a top 10 team. I think they're both impressive wins, and I get that you're acknowledging that they would both be impressive. But I think a road win at Wisconsin would surprise me quite a bit more than Iowa State figuring something out and beating Tech at home.
Well, I mean, you've already seen Iowa State beat Texas Tech this year, right? So you shouldn't be surprised. They beat them on the road. I mean, you shouldn't be that surprised, even though it's happening at a time where they're playing much worse basketball, if it happened at home. So, yeah, I think it's Iowa. I would not be – it's weird, too, right? Looking at both these games, you guys probably agree with me. I wouldn't be surprised if they both won, and I wouldn't be surprised if they both lost so convincingly that I – cannot believe I thought maybe they might both win.
I'd be surprised if they both won. Right now, it just feels like we're not headed for a double top 25 win from these two.
Yeah, but it's felt like that before.
I mean, it did not feel
like Iowa State was going to beat Texas Tech the first time that they beat them.
I'd be a little surprised. I wouldn't be shocked, that's for sure. No. Andy, Talen Horton-Tucker and Joe Wieskamp have had great freshman seasons. Wieskamp shoots for higher percentages in all categories, but Horton-Tucker is 1.5 rebound better on average. Each plays about 27 minutes per game for its team. Which freshman has had a more impressive season?
It's really hard because we knew Joe Wieskamp was coming, right? I mean, we watched him play at Wells Fargo Arena. We knew about him at Muscatine, and we've seen him kind of come on a little stronger later in the season, so it seems like maybe he's building, and those things are probably giving him an unfair advantage. But then again, we've heard THT's name mentioned in, you know, talk about who's leaving early for the NBA draft for a couple of months now. So that's probably what's going to be prevailing for me here, is I've heard people that are professional draft analysts mention his name. So they're impressed. I probably should be too.
Talen Horton-Tucker has the bigger ceiling, the bigger upside. And when he is spectacular for stretches, it's more impressive than what we see from Wieskamp. But Wieskamp overall has been more consistent. And like any freshman, he's not been completely consistent, but he's been more consistent overall. I would give him the edge in part because he also orchestrated with some luck, a considerable amount of luck, the most indelible moment we've had this season, that a shot he hit at Rutgers.
All right, Murph, Sunday's sound-off knockout game had to have been straight from John Sears, who's a fan of 90s hip-hop. But I'm curious to how you two vote. If you have to knock out one of these rappers, you knock out Tupac, Biggie, Eminem, or Jay-Z?
Yeah, this is something I would not claim expertise on here at all, so I'm just going to pick based on whose songs I like the most, and therefore I'm knocking Tupac out because I have songs by the other three that I like a lot. I don't have a Tupac song that I would put in the category of the other three.
I'm the opposite. Tupac is a clear number one for me. He's the last one that gets knocked out. I like his music the best. This is gonna be really unpopular, but I think it's Eminem. And you know, he's the one that's been performing the longest. I mean, two of them are dead, so
right,
knock them out. But been a performer the longest. I mean, Jay-Z's been a bazillion other things more than a performer, it seems like, for quite a while. But I don't know. I mean, I feel you just really know the influence of the other three. I mean, they're all, it's like a Mount Rushmore.
That's why it's hard.
Yeah, I think it's Eminem is last for me.
All right. Yeah, and Jay-Z's just Beyonce's husband, really. So.
Yeah, Jay-Z has been so successful and so popular and now so mainstream that he's who won that vote.
Yeah, right.
On
he's the one who got knocked
easily.
Out, right?
Yeah, he got knocked out. Yeah, because he doesn't have the cool factor anymore, which is hard to believe.
Yeah, right.
The other three, two of them are dead, so that, you know, you're cooler. You're cooler as a Hollywood or music star if dead. You know, you stay young forever. He doesn't have that. And Eminem is just kind of, he just disappears at times.
Yeah, I voted Biggie, but just because, like you, my personal taste, I really like Biggie. I don't like him quite as much as I like the other three. The poll is up on Twitter, @Murph_Andy. Who won Throwdowns? Was it Murph or was it Andy?
That's hour one of the Murph and Andy Show on a Tuesday, back with Trending Iowa. And hour two, right here on 1460 KXNO.